This is Christian Questions.
Sophocles once said, "One word that frees us of all the weight and pain of life." That word is love. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, talk radio with a purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we're glad that you are here and have chosen to spend some time with us this morning. And Jonathan, what is the topic on this fine Sunday morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, how is Christian love different? And our theme text is found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death.
Now, that's pretty serious stuff.
It is.
Love, my friends, is a big deal. Whether it is the love of a family member or a friend, the love of a hobby or a team, the love of a favorite place or food, the love of certain music or colors, the love of art or science, love truly encapsulates the most vital portions of the best parts of our lives. Well, as Christians, we often talk about higher love, what we call Christian love. Well, what is Christian love? Is it different? Is it higher? Can it change the world around us? Folks, stay with us this morning as we dig into the very fabric of what we as Christians are called to stand for. And Jonathan, sometimes you think about a subject like this, okay, you're going to talk about Christian love. Oh, isn't that sweet and all syrupy and all that? But this is a serious, serious subject when you try to figure out what Christian love really is.
It really gets deep.
Yeah, it does. And you wouldn't expect it to.
No.
But here we go. So get your scuba diving gear on because we're going down. All right, so what is the highest form of love? We're talking about Christian love. What is it? How do we define it? How do we understand it? How do we apply it? Well, there's a couple of words in the New Testament that are used to show us what this Christian love is.
And it means to love in a social or moral sense.
Or the other word is affection or benevolence. It doesn't sound very syrupy, does it?
No.
It sounds very, very, almost very firm. Mm-hmm. Love in a social or a moral sense. Get it right. And so that gives you a sense of this high, high level of love. And we're saying this is the highest form of love. And how do we know that? Well, we're going to begin to unfold that. Let's right off the bat here. Let's go to a soundbite. We got this off of YouTube from a group called Men of the Infinite. And they are defining this. The Greek word is agape.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word for love that we'll be really focusing on. And so they're defining this word, and it's just kind of an interesting take on how they see it. Let's listen to this.
Agape is different to all those mentioned because it is not directed towards any particular thing. It is not experienced as joy, as all other loves are, because it comes out of joy, which is to say that it comes out of an understanding or direct experience of reality. Agape is really an understanding of all things, and is hence identical to wisdom and compassion. It's not a desire or a need or a feeling towards some particular thing or concept. It is equal towards literally all things. It doesn't perceive more beauty in one place than in any other.
So that's philosophical.
It is indeed.
and we're looking at this, and we're not taking any, we're not sort of warming up on this, just getting right down to the core of the matter. This deep philosophical view of love, not at all what we might expect. And Jonathan, it almost sounds like this love is distant and unattached.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
In a sense, not caring, but loving. And how do you do that?
That's tough.
And so what we want to do this morning as we look at this concept of Christian love is really try to understand how it works, how it compares to other ways that we love one another, And then, most importantly, how do we get that to be a part of our everyday life?
I've heard of this word as being a selfless love.
Yeah.
But that word, it kind of doesn't feel right when you say it.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitions that say it's disinterested.
Right.
So wait.
Love's disinterested?
Yeah, how can love be disinterested?
Yeah.
So those are the things we're going to kind of struggle on through. And so, folks, if you have a thought, we're looking at Christian love. What is it? How does it work? How do we understand it? And how can we make it a bigger part of our lives? Our number is 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. You know what that means?
That means we're on right now.
That's
and
right.
Don't forget our website. It's ChristianQuestions.net.
All right. So is there, first question, is there emotion attached to this agape, and that's a Greek word, this Christian love that we're talking about? Let's look at John chapter 15, verses 11 through 17.
These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Okay, so just pause right there for a second. My commandment, that you love one another. That's this kind of love that we're talking about. So that you, in a disinterested way, that you love one another. Okay, go ahead.
Greater love has no one than this, than to lay one's life down for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you.
All right, so we're talking about love in its highest, highest form. And so the example, obviously, is Jesus. Because Jesus is saying, I want you to understand that there greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends.
And that is a selfless love, isn't it?
It is. Now, but is it a, and again, the words are kind of strange, but is it a disinterested love? How can, I mean, it sounds to me like it's very interested.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
So what would we mean by something that's disinterested? Because again, that's one of the ways it's described. But Jesus, is saying, okay, here's an example. Watch what I'm about to do for you. Because remember, these words in John 15 were spoken
right before his crucifixion.
Right, that night. These are the last words of encouragement that Jesus is giving his closest followers. And after this time with them, he's taken off and brought to trial and so forth, as we discussed on last week's program.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this final admonition, this final
encouragement,
right, to step up to this level.
Yeah.
And Jesus is about to literally show them how it's done. And obviously, if folks, look, if you missed last week's program, we want to really encourage you to go to ChristianQuestions.net, check it out in the archive section. Actually, on the front page of the website, there's the previous three programs.
Mm-hmm.
You just click on it. It was a very devotional look at the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. A lot of music and readings and so forth. Just meant to put us in the frame of mind to accept the breadth of his sacrifice.
It was very inspirational.
And really, I think it's a good introduction, if you will, to this particular subject.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, you know, you get the inspiration, and hopefully that opens up your mind some, and now you say, okay, now, how can I be more like that?
Right.
That's what today is about. So, we're looking at John chapter 15, verses 11 through 17. We've only read up through 13, and we're seeing that Jesus is talking about this high, high form of love, and saying that to express this, the greatest expression of this is to give oneself up for the sake of others. And he's basically saying, and that's what I'm about to do for you. Let's continue in verses, John chapter 15, verses 15 through 17.
No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. These things I command you, that you love one another.
So there's a lot here. And one thing that strikes me from verse 15, he says, look, you have now a different relationship with me. You're not servants, you know, because they always addressed him as master.
Right.
And as was appropriate. But now he's saying, I want to draw you up to a new level, a different level, because I'm telling you all of the things that are happening. And a servant doesn't know what his master's doing. He just obeys the commands.
Exactly.
But now I'm bringing you up to this higher level, and as I bring you up to this higher level, I'm commanding you about this kind of love. So as we look at some observations from this John chapter 15, 11 through 17, let's go through a few points here.
Love for one another is commanded by Jesus.
And this is not just any love. This is disinterested love. And again, I keep using that because it sounds backwards. We'll get to explaining that in a little while.
Another good point. Jesus is the model of this love.
He presents himself as the clear-cut model of how to express this love.
Especially through a sacrifice.
Right, right. What else?
And we become Jesus' friends when we fulfill this command, and it shows no partiality.
And I think that's a real key. Anybody who comes up to this level can have that relationship, that kind of relationship with Jesus.
And we were chosen to walk this road.
It says, my Father has chosen you to come and walk with me. So that there's something very special and privileged there as well.
That's right. And we are given a connection to the Father if we fulfill Jesus' command to love.
But again, you keep mentioning that it's a command.
It is.
You know, and I'll make a comment on that later on in the program. it's just one of those things about Jonathan I got to tell you, but I'll tell you later. All right. As we look at this kind of love, Jonathan, let's go back to another soundbite. And this kind of expresses how this love comes out from the inside. And this is certainly not an easy thing to develop. But John Piper from DesiringGod.org was giving he's a Christian minister, and he's talking about this kind of love and expressing how it ought to work. So let's listen to what he says.
If you were loved by God this way, you ought to love this way. He means you ought to do this like a fish ought to swim in water. You ought to do this the way birds ought to fly in the air. You ought to do this the way living beings should breathe. You ought to do this the way peaches ought to be sweet. You ought to do this the way lemons ought to be sour. You ought to do this the way hyenas ought to laugh.
He was on a roll there.
yes, he was.
But see, what he's saying is this should come out of the very core of your being. So this is what he's suggesting, is this is not the kind of thing that you can just put on and say, okay, today I'm going to show everybody my, again, the Greek word is agape, my agape, my selfless, my benevolent, my disinterested love. You don't just put it on. It's got to come from the inside out. And that is a task.
It is.
Because if you don't know what it is and you don't know how it works and how can you put it on, how can you actually express it, especially the way Jesus did?
And there's an expectation for us to achieve that level
of
love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, and that's the thing. Okay, Jesus commands you to do this.
Right.
Okay, now what do I do, boss? I mean, come on, what do I do? How do I do that? Folks, that's the question. Our number is 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And stay connected to Rick and I at ChristianQuestions.net, no matter the day or the time. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net.
All right, Jonathan, very quickly before we go into the break, Romans 12:10.
Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another.
All right, now the question with that scripture is this talking about the same kind of love, or is this talking about something different than we were talking about before?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how is Christian love different? But what about other forms of love? What do they mean? Wouldn't you love to find out? Well, that's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how is Christian love different? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And we're talking about love. And we're looking at, we keep saying, well, Christian love, the highest form of love. And thus far, we've looked at it, and it's disinterested love. It's benevolent. It's love in a social and moral sense. And we're saying, and again, it almost sounds antiseptic.
It does.
Well, it's really clean. You like that.
Oh, I do.
So let's do some comparison now. If we're talking about that as the highest form of love, and we're going to be developing that as we go through the program, obviously. Well, what's the lowest form of love? What's the most basic form of love? And as we get into this, you've got to be careful with that question.
You do.
Well, sure, because it can sound like when we discuss it, when you give the answer, it's going to sound like, wow, that's a real dig against humanity. Like, what are you guys talking about? Well, here, look, here is the most basic, the lowest form of love, and it is the affection between spouses.
Really?
Parents to children, children to parents. This is the level of love that is most basic and most instinctive to humanity. Let's look at a couple of examples of this in the scriptures. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 to 5.
The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed.
So this scripture in Titus is the apostle giving Titus instructions that as you go, have the older women teach the younger women that they love their husbands. Now, this is not that same, the Greek word agape love, that same highest form of Christian love. This is a much a different kind of love. Mm-hmm. And it literally is that kind of love that is between family members. So he's saying make sure that the young women love their husbands and love their children, not in that selfless kind of benevolent way we were talking about, mm-hmm. but in a much more familiar, instinctive kind of a way. So you say, well, okay, so is that kind of love just base and instinctive and there's nothing else to it and like get yourself a, you know, grow up?
No. It reminds me of the scripture, if you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an unbeliever.
So where does that fit? I guess that's the question. Let's look at one more scripture on that. Romans 12:10.
Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another.
So that kindly affectionate is the same thing. It's this basic instinctive form of love. And when you look at that, you look at it from the standpoint of, okay, here you have where you start. And so how important is this thing? Is it like...
It's very important.
So it's not a bad thing.
No.
It's not like you say to somebody, well, you're... Oh, look at you, Jonathan. You're stuck on that base form of love, you poor soul.
It's precious in God's sight.
Well, it's sacred.
Yes.
Is
yes,
what it is. It's
yes.
Sacred. And God, because we were made in God's image, this was built into our fabric. And we know that because when God created man and woman, that's what he built into them. And let's look at Jesus. Take on that in Matthew 19, verses 3 to 6.
Some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? And he answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they were no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate.
So here you look at that in Jesus' own words, in the repetition, if you will, of the Genesis account, is saying that the two becoming one flesh, that is the bringing together of the two lives with this basic form of love. So it's not base from the standpoint that, oh, that's all you got.
No.
It's basic from the standpoint of, boy, what a great place to begin.
That's right.
And how important it is to not just begin with it, how important it is to make sure it maintains its sacredness.
For your whole life.
Right. So you never, ever, ever, ever let that go.
That's right.
So, again, we gotta. It's not by saying, okay, here's the basic kind of love. It's like, it's not telling people that that's not a good thing.
It just shows us a difference.
Right. Right. It's a difference, and it's something to build on top of.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of how we learn how to get to that level of what we're calling Christian love. The Greek word is agape love, that love that is benevolent and can take oneself out of the picture. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, and that means we are on right now.
And check out CQ Rewind on our website. And it's a free service, and you get to see all the text, and you get to see all the bonus material, and it just puts all the context in place so that you can follow the whole logic of the program.
And a program like this, you need to have that. I think it just makes it simpler to just understand what we're trying to get to, because we are talking about one of the very core principles of all of Christianity.
It is the most important thing.
Christian love. What is it? How does it work? And how can we have it working in our lives so it comes out from us?
Again, CQ Rewind at our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Let's go to another soundbite, rather. This is from BeyondToday.tv, and I want to give you a warning on this, because we're using this by way of contrast. The following soundbite describes a fatal error. You know, sometimes with a computer, you're doing something and you got a pop up that says fatal error.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's never a good thing.
Trouble.
Yeah. That's a big deal. So this next soundbite describes a fatal error to the sacred binding power of love. Let's listen to this.
In ancient Greek mythology, there is a tale of a handsome young man named Narcissus, who is so consumed by his own desires, he's not able to love others. One day, Narcissus sees his own reflection in a pool of water and falls hopelessly and madly in love with himself. Of course, every time he tries to touch the watery image, it dissolves. He eventually dies of a broken heart. This dysfunctional view of life has become common in our society. The narcissistic belief is that to be happy, all you need to do is act sexy, demand rights and privileges, and party, party, party.
All right.
This guy's got a problem.
Yeah, well, and this was Greek mythology. Narcissus just falls madly in love with himself, with his own personal beauty.
Selfish.
Well, and it's not just selfish, it's self-consumed.
Whoa.
And that is a fatal error when we talk about love. And if you want to get to the level of Christian love, well, look, you can't even begin to think about approaching that with that fatal error in place. So narcissism, we're gonna continue to come back to that thought and what it means and how it works, because it is such a dramatic contrast to what we want to get to, and it is such a prevalent way of looking at life now, I think more so than ever before.
I think you're right.
We have a very narcissistic approach to our world, because everything is built around me.
That's right.
And that feeds the narcissistic approach. And, you know, it's kind of almost a strange word to use, narcissism.
It is.
But it's the name of a Greek mythological character, and that's where this whole thought comes from. So when you look at this, all about me, it sounds like a very familiar biblical story.
It really does.
And this biblical story, actually, when you read it, is disturbing, because it is the basis, I think, of what we end up with as narcissism.
Isaiah 14, 12 through 14, "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn! You have been cut down to the earth, you who have been weakened by the nations. You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.'"
And we see that as a prophetic description of Satan.
That's right.
In his fall. And when you read that verse, it's all about I.
Me.
Right. I will ascend. I will raise my throne. I will sit on the mount of the assembly. I will ascend to the heights above the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Over and over and over and over again, it's about I versus about God as ruler, as king, as almighty, as creator. So you have this picture, and again, it's disturbing.
It is.
Because narcissism is disturbing, and I think narcissism really comes from that.
It really does. Satan, it sounds exactly the same.
Satan is the father of lies. That's what he's called.
Yes.
And narcissism is really a lie in terms of importance.
Sure.
Relative to the world around you. So, folks, we're talking about love, Christian love, the highest form of love attainable in the human condition. How do you get there? What are your experiences with us? We'd love to hear your thoughts. 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And we want to hear what you have to say about today's topic. Post your comments on our Facebook page and our blog, and you can find that at ChristianQuestions.net.
ChristianQuestions.net. That is the nerve center of everything that happens here.
You've got nerve.
At Christian Questions. So we're looking at narcissism sort of in contrast even to the basic instinctive love of family. And when you approach your family with that selfish point of view, that narcissistic point of view, you are not going to be able to even apply the first level, which is sacred before God, mm-hmm. this first level of love properly. You're going to be off.
That's right.
But, you know, life is all about us.
It is.
Well, we certainly like to make it that way. I want to give a comparison. This, again, we got from YouTube, and it was under Love Your Neighbor. And it's about a man named Steve, who was actually homeless at one point in time. And the whole little segment of YouTube is this guy, Steve, is now in a position where he spends much of his time helping the homeless and donating his time and effort and inspiring others to donate their time and effort to help those who don't have. He was in the wrong place at the beginning. And this is a little bit of what happened to him.
You know, I felt that no one cared about my situation, and that, you know, I got to a certain point in my life where, you know, I really didn't have a lot of care for myself either. And, you know, when you lose hope that things can possibly turn around and get better, it's a scary place to be. You lose your sense of self and your sense of self-worth as well. And the fact that people genuinely and honestly wanted to help me and didn't want anything in return, it really impressed me. And, you know, I remember saying to myself, you know, if I was ever in a position to be able to do the same, I would be more than glad to.
So you see a whole journey in 45 seconds.
Wow.
You see a man who was in a position where he had nothing, he was on the street, and he felt hopeless. He felt completely uncared for. And he began to not care for himself because he felt uncared for.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the recipient of some kind of a selfless, benevolent love of others that just gave to him for the sake of giving. And it made such an impression on him. It helped to raise him up by his bootstraps, get his life together, realize he had value. And now he spends his time doing the same for others.
Took the focus off himself and put it towards others.
So when you look at that narcissism versus this man Steve's experience, what a dramatic difference.
Definitely.
Now, see, it was important. He was important. His self-worth was important.
And this experience was important for him.
And it put his self-worth back into a place where his self-worth was able to produce the ability to give. Versus having your self-worth produce the ability to only see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So there's a huge difference between those two things. Self-worth is important.
It is.
You know, humility. We often talk, Christians talk about humility and how important it is. You got to be humble. Well, does that mean that you look at yourself and you sort of like want to step on yourself every time you see it?
No.
Like, Because humility is not degrading oneself.
In the past, weren't there those people that used to whip their backs?
Yes, yes.
Because they wanted to show their humility before God?
And the idea of humility is just a proper assessment of who we are. Now, so what we're looking at is narcissism versus that basic form of family love. Jonathan, one more scripture before we go into a break.
Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another.
Actually, I was thinking about 1 Peter 3:8 there.
Sorry.
That's a good scripture, though. I like it.
Oh, it is. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous.
So now, this love as brothers. Now, is this different than the last love we were talking about? What's happening here?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how is Christian love different? So, is brotherly love different from Christian love? You'll love this. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how is Christian love different? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So we're looking at Christian love, and we keep saying this is the highest form of love that there is. Last segment, we talked about the love of family. And we said, well, there's the lowest form, but don't panic.
It's not low as
right.
Not important.
Right. I mean, so picture yourself climbing this huge, huge mountain, and you're way up on the mountain, and you get to this lowest form of the high area. That's what we're talking about. It's
gotcha.
It's not this base thing that, oh, that's all you got,
it's
family love.
It's
Come on.
It's sacred.
It is. It's sacred because God built it into us, and we're made in God's image. So it's something to be taken seriously, something to be worked on, something to be developed. But there's more. And the scripture you read at the end of the last segment was something about brotherly love.
That's right. The Philadelphia love.
And that literally is the word. Philadelphia is the Greek word.
Yes.
And we, when you hear that, you say Philadelphia is the city of dun-da-da-da.
Brotherly love.
All right. Now, that's fraternal affection. It's fondness. And this, I think, is the most common expression of love in our world.
I think you're right.
Families have it. Teams have it. Those who serve in the military have it. Gangs even have it. There's this fraternal affection. It's the kind of form of love that says protect and be protected. It's the expression, I got your back.
Yes.
That's
yes.
What that is.
Now, can we mix this up as Christians with the highest form that we've already talked about, the agape?
What do you mean, can you mix it up? Do they get confused between
yeah,
the two?
Or do Christians think that this
is the highest
form of love?
Maybe, perhaps. I don't know. But I think that could be a very real, it's almost strange to say, but a very real danger. Because, see, there's more. See, this fraternal affection has a give and take involved.
Mm-hmm.
I got your back, you've got mine.
Right.
So there's this giving and this receiving. Now look, again, we're talking about it like, oh, it's still not the highest form. It's not like it's bad.
It's important.
This is not only important, it is critical. It is critical to becoming not only a well-rounded human being, but a faithful Christian. And again, let's look at a couple of scriptures before we go to the phones.
Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels.
All right, brotherly love. So that's something that is supposed to continue. And then 1 Peter 3:8-9, we touched on it last segment, but let's read the whole thing.
Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Never returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, blessing, knowing what you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing.
So it's talking about a love as brothers, and then it explains it, being tenderhearted and courteous, not returning evil for evil. In other words, you've got to have your brothers back.
That's right.
That's a very, very important thing amongst Christians. Don't forget this kind of love. Don't leave home without it. So you've got that family love, and now you've got this brotherly love as we're building the superstructure of what Christian love really is and what it's built on.
Well, Rick, let's go to the phones. We have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
I love a Bible study. I love to talk about God. Incidentally, last week I made a statement about when our Lord Jesus was suffering, while he was being scourged.
Yes.
How we feel to see a family member, you know, our own family member, how would we feel?
Yeah, yeah.
The point was, I did not finish, that how did God feel to see his own beloved son scourged, ridiculed, mocked, crucified, as he was? I wonder about how did God feel? I'm sure God felt it.
Yeah, of course.
Beyond anything we could comprehend. Okay, true love. To me, one way to define it, true love. I appreciate all your comments on it so far. Very, very accurate and very appropriate, I think. But true love to me is proactive and enduring. It seeks to serve and not to be served. God and Jesus are the greatest examples of that. John 3:16, you know how often that is so, like it becomes, after a while, it becomes a little bit, routine.
Right.
We don't appreciate what that scripture is really saying, for God to love the way he... And see, it goes beyond saying it. God and Jesus, they acted it.
Yes.
Thank you. God bless.
Thanks, Julius. Appreciate your call.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
So Julius added some very important definition to this Christian love, this agape, the Greek word agape love. He says it's proactive, it's enduring, and it's serving. So those are really good adjectives to put to this discussion.
They really
in terms of getting there. Now, it's not to say that the other types of love aren't that way, because they are.
True.
They are proactive. They are enduring. You know, family love, brotherly love, it is proactive. It is enduring. And it is built on serving.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of just looking at these different kinds of things and putting them all in a general larger perspective. So, Jonathan, now we've got brotherly love on the table.
Right.
So we had family love. Now we've got brotherly love on the table. Well, let's go back to beyondtoday.tv. Remember it defined narcissism for us?
Yes, it did.
You don't sound too excited.
No.
Well, here, this one will excite you a little more because it tells you the results of what happens when you take a narcissistic approach to life. So, again, this is from beyondtoday.tv, the results of narcissism.
Results of this selfish approach to life are broken relationships, lack of civility, callousness towards others, and emotional trauma. When you're tired of the emptiness of selfishness, it's time to return to your Creator and Jesus' instruction to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself.
So, doesn't that cheer you up?
That was better.
It cheers you up because you look at that and say, okay, what are the results of having that complete focus on one's self? And remember, Narcissus was in Greek mythology. He was a very handsome, very strikingly handsome young man.
And he really loved himself.
Well, and the story is that he is looking in a pool of water at his own reflection. And he's so enamored by his own reflection that he can't take his eyes off of himself. And he goes to touch the reflection. Of course, it gets messed up. And he spends the rest of his life trying to get to that thing he's so enamored by, and he dies of a broken heart. I mean, what a waste, my friend. What a waste. Think bigger. Think outside of yourself. Do something different. But the results of this, Jonathan, are broken relationships. So you can see why.
Oh, yeah.
Because a relationship has give and take. All this is take. Lack of civility. Because, again, it's all about me. Callousness, emotional trauma,
there's no serving here.
Right, right. And there's nothing else that's important except you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, folks, let's think about this. We're talking about Christian love, this highest form of love, and narcissism is about, 7,682.5 miles away from there.
That's quite a way.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I did calculate it.
Oh, okay.
And do we take a narcissistic approach in our lives? Are we building our lives too much around ourselves? Think about it for a second. Just kind of do the look in the mirror, and look, if you get really too enamored, then you know you're in trouble.
You could always get a crew cut or something.
You know what, folks? You got it. Yeah, just real quick here, and I'm going to expand on this in the second hour for sure. But Jonathan came in this morning, and he's got this crew cut. And look, I've known Jonathan for, what, 20 years now or more?
Yeah.
Probably more. And never have I seen him. He looks like he's fresh out of the military. And he looks like, sir, yes, sir, Commander-in-Chief Jonathan here on the radio program. Was that so you wouldn't look in the mirror and say, oh,
exactly.
Look at that?
Exactly.
All right. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And don't forget to go to CQRewind@ChristianQuestions.net. The full edition, you want to sign up for that. It is a free service, and you can get all the notes that we're talking about here, because we really are building sort of a structure.
Plus bonus material.
And there's some stuff in the bonus material we're not even going to mention. The only mention is that it's there, and that's it. But there's 10 ways to love in the bonus material. Really cool.
It is.
But I'm not going to tell you what they are. CQ Rewind at ChristianQuestions.net. Sign up for the full edition. It's a free service. True Christian love. This is that agape love. That's the Greek word, agape love. This is the level of selflessness and benevolence that surpasses brotherly love, and it encompasses a level of giving that has no thought of reciprocation. It's only concerned with the well-being of those to which it is giving. That's the level of love we want to get to. Having only concern with the well-being of those to which we are giving, not concerned about oneself. That's the level that we are commanded to aspire to. Jesus, remember, said.
And it's not easy.
No, of course not. Now, it's interesting. Did you notice how the family love is not admonished by the apostles? Or, I'm sorry, it is admonished. The apostles tell us, you know, make sure you maintain your family love.
Yes, yes.
But it's not commanded by Jesus.
Oh, I never thought of it that way.
Brotherly love is admonished by the apostles.
Right.
Let brotherly love continue. Make sure you take care of one another with brotherly love. But it's not commanded by Jesus.
Interesting.
Why is that? Well, we'll get to that answer. Let's go to another soundbite. This is a look at, and folks, you're probably familiar with this. All I'm going to tell you is it's first verse, and it's from Jars of Clay. That's all you get to know. Let's play it.
Relationships are difficult.
Nope, no, that's the wrong one. I was going to say, that was it's number six. There we go.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored. And then know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yeah, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
One verse, Jars of Clay. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. They will know we are Christians by our love. Okay, how will they know? How do we get them to know what we are? How do you do that? Because that is talking about this Christian love, this highest form of love. Well, I think the first hint, Jonathan, is to apply that which is already wired into the human heart as a foundation. In other words, take those more basic forms of love and build on them as the foundation to get to this selfless Christian love.
Okay, so we're talking family love.
Right.
Then brotherly love.
Right.
And then move to this higher form of
exactly,
love.
Exactly, exactly. First level, Titus 2:4.
That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children.
There's the family love. Okay, so you've got to build on that. Second level, go to Hebrews.
Let brotherly love continue.
So what we need to do is understand that, and also 1 Peter 3:8 again. We've read it before, but one more time.
Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous.
So the scriptures tell us, don't ignore those other kinds of love, but build on them. Take them as a basis from which you can begin to develop something different, something special, something unusual, and something that may not be at all natural, something higher. But you don't ignore what you've been given. What have you been given? Love of your family. If look, we all have a family of some kind or other, and even if it's not a physical family, generally an adopted family even. Make sure you develop that family love and those family ties tightly. Brotherly love. We all have that sense of being in the same boat with others. Make sure we develop that I've got your back mentality strongly with one another. And by taking those two things, we can now have a foundation on which Christian love, the real Christian love, that selfish love, can truly develop. In the second hour, we're going to be going through that and deal with another kind of love that the scriptures mention. So don't go away. It's Rick and Jonathan with Christian Questions. The question, how is Christian love different? We'll be back after the news and all that. But till then, Christian love, do you have it? How do you get it? Think about it.
Is Christian Questions.
Thomas Mann once said, "It is love, not reason, that is stronger than death." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what is that topic we're talking about on this fine Sunday morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, how is Christian love different? And our theme text is found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death.
So in the first hour, we were talking about this idea of Christian love and what it is and how it works. And one of the things we discovered, Jonathan, is that according to the scriptures, they lay out a number of different kinds of love.
They do.
So Christian love, first of all, to define Christian love, this highest form of love, it's benevolent and somewhat unattached.
Mm-hmm.
And that almost sounds contrary to when you say love, you're supposed to be very attached.
Yeah, you're right. And selfless is another way of describing it, which doesn't sound right either.
Right, because there's some kind of self involved, but mm-hmm. It's unattached. It's been called disinterested. It doesn't have self-interest. It is properly built upon the firm foundation of the kind of love that God wired into the human form. Now, remember, we talked about specifically a couple of kinds of love that God wired into humanity.
One is more of a family love.
Right, and that's sort of where love begins. Mm-hmm. And when you say, well, that's the base form of love, it's not a bad thing.
No.
It is an honorable, sacred thing,
mm-hmm.
this love of family, spouses one to another.
To children.
Parent to children, mm-hmm. children to parent. Family love.
Also, brotherly love was the next form.
And brotherly love extends outside of family love, and it has that sense of I've got your back.
Right.
And both the family love and the brotherly love are based on a sort of a commonality on having things in common and working together toward the same cause. Christian love, though, is higher than those things. And it's built upon those things.
That's right. You have to have the others in place before you could get to that next level.
Right, right. We want to welcome in our audience at WNOX 100.3 FM in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're glad you've joined us for this hour. We want to remind you that the first hour will be available a little bit later today at ChristianQuestions.net in the archive section. So you can check that out if you missed it. And remind you that you have archives of all kinds on the website ChristianQuestions.net. And also you can listen live there. If you are out of the radio area that we are with our several stations, you can certainly listen live by going to ChristianQuestions.net, click the Listen Live button, and bango!
Bango?
Well, I don't know. What are you going to say? There you are. You can listen live. What else?
Well, if you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320. And you can contact us on the web at ChristianQuestions.net. There are many archive programs on a variety of subjects. Again, that's christianquestions.net. Also at our website, CQ Rewind. CQ Rewind has two parts. The first is the summary version. That includes excerpts from the program, transcript, and scriptural citations. It's a free download. But the second, the best of all, CQ Rewind, the full edition. That's available by email sign-up only. That includes comprehensive excerpts, transcript, and fully quoted scriptures, plus bonus material, all presented in a reader-friendly format full of graphics and illustrations. Now, that's also available free of charge. You just sign up. So check them out at christianquestions.net. CQ Rewind, you heard the program. Now see it as well.
And, Jonathan, just a quick note on CQ Rewind, especially from last week. Last week was a very devotional approach to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And we actually don't have a summary version of CQ Rewind for last week. Our Rewinder team, Julie, she got back to me and said, look, I can't do a summary because every word was important.
Mm.
So to get the text from last week, and it's pretty much the entire text of the program, go to christianquestions.net, sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition, and you'll get the whole thing. Literally, word for word, from that entire broadcast. And again, it puts the perspective on the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. Only exclusively available at christianquestions.net. All right, let's get back to this idea of Christian love. What is it? How does it work? And how can we develop it in our lives? And that's really the most important thing.
It is, absolutely.
How do I become a reflection of what Christian love truly is?
And is this highest form of love the property of Christianity only, Rick?
Yes, Christianity has a copyright on Christian love. No. Well, we'll look at that as we go through this segment. But, Jonathan, let's start the segment out by going the extreme other direction.
Uh-oh.
Okay, and we're going to put out a warning here. Warning. Danger, Will Robinson. The following condition is extremely dangerous to one's health and to the well-being of those who come in contact with it. This is about being narcissistic. We're going to tell you, do not try this at home. All right? Don't do this. But this is someone, and we got this from beyondtoday.tv, speaking as a narcissist. And, of course, a narcissist is somebody who is in love with themselves, and everything is around, built around them. Let's listen to his perspective on life.
Relationships are difficult. Maybe more so for someone like me than your average Joe, your common man. I won't lie. Beautiful women want me. They do desire me. I mean, there is a sense of pride, of privilege that these women get in my presence. Why should I deny them that?
Well, there you go. I bet you never thought you'd hear that on Christian Questions, did you?
Never.
And again, that's a very dramatic, a very pointed approach to say, okay, look, there are opposites here. And that is a perspective on life that says, look, I am better than God's gift to man and women. I am God's gift to all of creation. Just look at me and you'll see why. I mean, there's this completely misguided sense of self-importance that bulldozes everything else around you.
Wow.
Yeah, and it just doesn't fit, especially when we're looking at what Christian love is, which is about as far away from that as you possibly can get.
Absolutely.
So, folks, what is Christian love? How does it work? Give us a call, 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
The conversation continues online at christianquestions.net. Contact us there with your questions or comments. Also, interact with us on Facebook and our always updated blog. Again, christianquestions.net.
So, Jonathan, we talked in the first hour about family love and brotherly love. There's another kind of love that's talked about in the scriptures, but not talked about nearly as much, and that is a fondness for mankind, a benevolent kind of love. It's from the Greek word philanthropia. Now, when you think about that word, you think of the word philanthropy.
Yes.
Well, this level of love moves out of relationships which are naturally forged by common ground into relationships of no previous commonality, love being expressed without previous ties or obligation. See, family love has those ties and obligations.
Yes, it does.
Brotherly love has those ties and that mutual obligation.
Yep.
But there is no previous tie or obligation from the one who expresses it. And that's where we get our word philanthropy from. The scriptures talk about this, and this is a great example in Acts chapter 28, verses 1 and 2.
Now, when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome, because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold.
So they're shipwrecked on this island of Malta, and the people who lived there showed, it says, unusual kindness,
mm-hmm.
philanthropy. Mm-hmm. And they just came to us and they took care of it. They didn't know us.
No.
But they did it anyway. That's this philanthropy. There was something that was done sort of in a public way.
Gotcha.
To show a great kindness that was uncalled for and unnecessary, but they did it anyway. Interestingly, God is talked about as having this kind of love as well in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 6.
For we also once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love toward men appeared, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration, of renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
So it's interesting that God is talking about His love toward man appeared. And how did His love toward man appear? Through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very public presentation of His love.
That's right.
So this idea of philanthropy is a very public kind of a presentation of this giving where there's not a necessary attachment beforehand. So here's a good question. If God Himself has this kind of love, why does the Bible never tell us as Christians to develop it?
Well, that's a good question.
Yes, it is. 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net.
And if you wanted to get in touch with us by email, you can do so at Rick, R-I-C-K, at christianquestions.net. That's a personal email, and you'll get a personal and timely response, Rick, at christianquestions.net. So, Jonathan, we heard a soundbite about our narcissist friend.
Yes.
Friend, quote-unquote friend. Poor guy. Let's go to the other side of the spectrum now. You're probably familiar with the movie Pay It Forward.
Yes, I am.
And it was about a young man named Trevor who comes up with this idea of paying goodness forward. Very dramatic. It's a wonderful movie.
I love this movie.
So we decided we'd go to a just a quick soundbite from there. And this is where there's a homeless guy that Trevor, this little 10 or 12-year-old kid, helps. And he sort of gives him help, and it's very uncharacteristic. But just kind of listen. This is that homeless man reacting to what's happened to him.
He wanted to help somebody. Wanted to get somebody back on their feet, so he gave me a little money.
He gave you money?
Yes, ma'am.
That's his savings.
Well, it's clothes and shoes, and I got the job off it.
You think you can keep it?
Somebody comes along like your son and gives me a leg up. I'll take it. Even from a kid, I'll take it.
And it's a wonderful example because here's this man who just his life is in a shambles. And this boy comes along and gives him something.
He befriends him.
And he helps him. He gives him money. What the guy does with the money is he buys shoes and clothing, and he gets a job. And it's like this is his leg up to get back into life. So this is an expression of this kind of Christian love. It's giving without getting anything back. And see, this Christian love is a level of selflessness and benevolence that surpasses philanthropy.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So we're looking at them, the two, and comparing them because it encompasses a level of giving that has no thought of reciprocation. Now, philanthropy is generally accompanied by some manner of public recognition. Okay, there's recognition publicly of what you're doing. Okay, but Christian love has no concern for such things. It's only concerned with the well-being of those to whom it's being given. So the concept of selfless love is not the sole property of Christianity. The history of our world is filled with people who've done that, that weren't necessarily Christians. But, you know, it reminds us of altruism and benevolence. It's this giving without thinking about getting back, and it's not necessarily doing it in a public fashion.
Reminds me of the scripture, don't let thy right hand know what thy left hand
is doing.
Yeah, that's
a good one. That's a great scripture that puts us in the perspective of understanding Christian love as even being higher than that philanthropic approach. And when we look at philanthropy and people who've done massive things for humanity, we look at that and say, man, that's awesome. Christian love is much, much higher, and it's much more awesome even than philanthropic contribution.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how is Christian love different? So, how do we get Christian love to actually be expressed through us? This is lovely. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how is Christian love different? To be a part of our program, call toll free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now on our website, christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, at the end of the last segment, you had asked the question, so how do we get Christian love to actually be expressed through us?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's remember, Jesus commanded us, I command you to love one another as I have loved you.
So this is important.
This, this is important. And, you know, it's a command. And, you know, when you think of command, sometimes you think of the military. And when you think of the military, sometimes you think of Jonathan's haircut.
Yes, sir.
That's right. I'm telling you, folks, I've known Jonathan for a long time, and he came in this morning, he's got this crew cut, and I looked at him and was like, what?
It's not my fault. I asked my barber,
it's not my fault.
Could you cut it like you did last time? I really liked it. Well, this is what I ended up with.
Yeah, you never had a haircut like this.
Never.
Known you for a long time. So what I did is I took a picture of him on my phone. I'm going to get it onto Facebook. You got to see this.
Thanks.
So check us out at Facebook. I'll have to get it to Jeff to load up there. But again, this is a command. And, you know, that helps us to think in terms of the commands because, you know, you've got that staff sergeant look about you here. But Jonathan, as we look at this, let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, just as a beginning of the process of understanding how to get this Christian love expressed through us.
See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure.
All right, so there are certain realizations here in this 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Let's touch on these, and then we'll go to the phones.
Well, first, acknowledge the great love of God that we're called His children.
Yeah, and that's a significant change from the Old Testament where it was servants.
That's right.
So you've got this great love of God, and if we can acknowledge and understand that, it opens the door for the application of what Christian love really is.
And this position separates us from the world.
And that's such an important part of this discussion, is that if you are going to apply Christian love, you really are going to be in a very separate kind of a position from the world around you, because the world is not used to, nor does it like necessarily, that kind of activity.
And John was talking about this, a position is a purifying process.
So to be able to really express Christian love, have it come out from you, we have to work towards it. It's almost like a boot camp, you know, learning and developing and getting to a point where it can be expressed through you. So like you said, it is important and it's difficult.
Yes.
Let's go to the phones.
All right. Well, we have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
To you too.
We have Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Christian love is not about being nice. It's not about charity or popular misconceptions about romantic love. Christian love is nothing less than the ruthless faith-driven recognition that everyone, not just those close to me, is with me in Christ, and my salvation is linked to their good. 1 John whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. But the Christian does not attain this love alone by following a list of rules and standards. It is by prayer and scripture that the Christian is helped in a real way by Jesus. When asked in faith, Jesus gives us the overwhelming attitude of his love. John 17:21, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they might also be in us.
Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
God bless you guys.
Take care.
And that last scripture really, I think, was one of those key scriptures where it says that they may be one in us. Just as the same relationship with the Father to the Son and the Son to the Father, we're supposed to be a part of that. And the only way you get there is through the application of this high, high, high standard of Christian love. Not easy, but important, because Jesus commanded us to get there. Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate your input as always. And folks, listen, if you have a thought on what Christian love is and how it works, let us know. It's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
All right. So we're talking about this high level of Christian love and how hard it is to attain unto it.
And it's a purifying process.
That's right. So let's go back to the other side again. I can't resist but to go back to our BeyondToday.tv narcissist friend here, who's just so enamored with himself that nothing else just can even begin to matter. Just if you thought the last one was good, listen to this.
There's also an insecurity that I get from them. Women like beauty. They respect it. But they don't want to compete with it. Unfortunately, that's going to be a factor for any woman who will be with me.
Okay.
Maybe we should have some ladies call up and share what they think about that one. Who does this guy think he is?
I can tell you this. I'm looking in the other room. My wife there, she's sitting there, calls greeting, and she's just laughing hysterically. And you know, here's the thing about that. What you see is somebody who is so enamored with themselves that they live in a very small world.
It's kind of empty.
Yeah, there's only one person in it. That's why. The world has only room for one. Christian love, kind of like what Randall was saying, it breaks through and it has room for everyone. And that's our responsibility. That's our command, is to strive for that and not this other messy situation there with Mr. Narcissist himself. The epitome of in my opinion, a wasted life. Just, you know, you're just wasting your time, wasting your life, because it is not contributing. It's not a part of anything larger than yourself. And you know what? I don't care how beautiful you might be. Nobody's that big.
No.
Nobody. If you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
All right, let's go back to 1 John chapter 3. We'll skip down to verses 11 through 18, because this, I think, helps us to understand how to get this Christian love expressed through us. And remember, it's got to come from the inside out. It's not something that you just sort of put on as a uniform. It's something that's got to be sincere, and you've got to grow into being able to express it.
For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous.
So our command to love one another is based on that purified position that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
not on evil as was with Cain and his brother. See, now Cain had a choice.
He did.
His sacrifice wasn't acceptable. Now, you could do two things at that point. You could find a way to make it acceptable.
Sure.
Maybe go to your brother and say, hey, look, why don't we trade something here so I can offer a sacrifice that's acceptable to God.
Right.
Or you can go out and try to undermine the person who was acceptable when you weren't.
Because of jealousy.
Yeah. Yeah. And jealousy is evil.
It is.
And the evil that comes from it undermines that giving that we're supposed to have. So Cain is a great example of the wrong way to approach our brother. See, now that's even as bad as that is, that's a step out of narcissism, because narcissism doesn't even care about your brother.
That's right.
At least you're jealous. It's not good, but at least you've got now an area to make a choice to raise your standard up higher. Let's go down 1 John chapter 3, the verses now 13 and 14.
Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death.
So here, this scripture, and this is 14 is our theme text, passage to life is dependent on loving the brotherhood.
That's right.
And that love is not just fraternal love or family love. It's that selfless Christian love.
Mm-hmm. And it will be surrounded by controversy.
So it's not an easy thing,
no.
But it's commanded of us. It's something we have to rise up to. Verses 15 and 16.
Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer.
Oh.
And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
So we have this unmistakable model for this love, as well as an unmistakable consequence for not living this Christian love. And the consequence, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer.
That's, wow.
Yeah,
that's just in your heart.
Right,
hidden.
Right. So, and
you got to weed that out.
Right. So it's not talking about, oh, you know, you're showing hate for your brother, so we're going to execute you. That's not what that's talking about.
You got to purify that out of your system.
Right. It's saying that you are murdering your brother's reputation, essentially, by not loving him. And there's something bigger than that that you must strive for. And again, this level of Christian love is high and difficult to attain to. It is not easy, but it's a command.
That's right. Well, Rick, why don't we go to the phones? We have Alice from Indiana. Good morning, Alice, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Hi there, Jonathan and Rick.
Hello.
Good morning. Just real quick, I couldn't help but think your program's beautiful this morning about love and the selfless love part of it. And I couldn't help but thinking about Christ, how he loved and gave his life for the church, and how he related that to in the scriptures, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, so totally selflessly. And I thought of my mom and how she took care of my dad in the last few months of his life. Such, we could hardly get her to go to the grocery store. She was so devoted to taking care of him and just would not think of herself at all. And then I wandered off and my mind was thinking, I think it's the story of the Magi.
Yes.
Where she sells her hair to buy something precious for her husband, and he sells something precious, I can't remember
his
what
watch,
it was,
his watch.
To buy a comb for her hair.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of selfless, totally selfless love that I think you're zeroing in on and how it relates to life. And it's really good to think about, and I really, really appreciate your program this morning.
Alice, thanks so much. We appreciate your call.
All righty.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Great examples. You know, the example of her mom taking care of her dad, and that went beyond that connection.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was this devotion to every need because of the difficulties. And then the story of the gift of the Magi is one of those things about, you know, the man prizes his watch and she prizes her hair, and they have nothing. So each of them sells their most prized possession so they could honor what's important to the other.
That's neat.
And it just puts things in a different perspective. Alice, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Jonathan, let's go back to that movie, Pay It Forward, and just a little bit about this selflessness. And this is, again, this is the homeless guy talking about the concept of, look, I'm not allowed to pay Trevor back for what he did for me. That's the whole idea behind Pay It Forward. And that's what selfless love is really built on.
Look, I appreciate what you're trying to do, paying back Trevor.
I'm not allowed to pay back Trevor.
Then what is it you're doing?
I'm paying it forward.
What's paying it forward?
That's me. That's me. And that's three people. And I'm going to help them. But it has to be something really big. Something they can't do by themselves. So I do it for them. Then they do it for three other people. That's nine. do 3 more.
That's 27, so I'm not really good at math, but it gets big really fast, you know?
And, you know, it gets big really fast. And see, that's the message here. It's this not looking back, but looking forward. And think about it. That's exactly, precisely what Jesus did. He paid it forward. He said, I am giving my life for you. Now I want you to lay down your lives for others.
Do this in remembrance of me.
Right. Go forward with it. Don't go backwards with it. Don't go internally with it. Go forward. Give it away. Give it out. Because that's what this Christian love is really based on. It is magnificent, Jonathan. It is a magnificent way to live. Very difficult, but it is magnificent. And we have a great example in Jesus of how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's quickly see if we can wrap up John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 here.
But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth.
So this is very, very important here.
Take because, action.
Right,
I mean,
right, right. It's not enough to say, oh, I love you.
Exactly.
I love people. And it says, look, if your brother is in need, if they're in need and you just, you know, you pat them on the back and say, oh, I am praying for you and all of that, you know, and they've come on bad times and difficulties, we should be willing to give out from ourselves because it's showing the love, not just speaking it. So there's a big difference between the words and the actions. That's what this kind of Christian love is. And to express it through ourselves, we have to have it in such a way that we are willing to give it out from us. It costs us something.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, how is Christian love different? God is love. Love is the answer. All you need is love. Love your enemies. What types of love are part of your character? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how is Christian love different? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So, Jonathan, we're looking at this Christian love and how high a level of love it is and how selfless it is and how disinterested it is from the standpoint that you're not interested in something coming back to you. You're just interested in giving.
That's right.
That's what it means to be disinterested, not looking for a result personally, but looking to just give the goodness away from you. And that is a hard thing to get to. Christian love says, love those around you after the example of God and Jesus. And what it tells us to do scripturally is to step up those things which are natural to a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
We're naturally given love of our family. Like Ephesians 5:25, this reminds me of Alice's call just last segment.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
She had quoted that scripture and gave a great example of that.
Yes.
And it's what it's saying is, okay, you love your wives. Now, remember, the love of your wife is a physical love.
That's right.
But here, husbands, love your wives. It's that sacrificial.
It's that greatest love.
Christian love.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, you can start with what you know, but develop to something that's bigger and stronger and better, something that you may not know yet but can learn by the grace of God.
And we saw that through the example of her mom.
Right, right. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, in relation to brotherly love.
But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another.
So concerning that fraternal affection that I've got your back, it says you know about that. But you are taught by God to love, selflessly
higher love.
Right. Christian love one another. So it puts the two of them together, and it's basically saying start with the brotherly love and then build on that structure to something magnificent, this selflessness in giving kind of love. And then finally in John chapter 15, verses 9 and 12.
As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Jesus commanded us to love one another in this selfless way. And the selfless way means you're not looking for something back. You're just looking to be able to give because that's what Jesus did. And remember, when he says these words, Jonathan, he is about to be completely forsaken by all of his closest friends.
He is.
And he knows it. He knows he's going to be entirely alone. And yet he tells them, this is what I want you to do. This is my command to you. Do what I am about to show you what to do. I'm going to show you how it works. So this is a challenge for us to rise up to. Folks, if you have a thought, get in line. Now it's the time. 866-985-4255. Toll free. 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
If you missed our first hour, you can see it through CQ Rewind and hear it by logging on to ChristianQuestions.net for our exclusive bonus material, CQ Rewind content, and full audio files. No cost to you, just a quick trip to ChristianQuestions.net.
And sign up for the full edition of CQ Rewind, ChristianQuestions.net. Let's go back to our narcissist friend one more time, okay? Just one more time we want to go back to him because this is from beyondtoday.tv, and he's just looking at life from his little perspective of his little tiny teeny world, and it makes me laugh, but let's listen.
This is me. This is what I am. Am I supposed to make myself less attractive? Am I supposed to deny this face and this incredible body? I can't do that. To deny myself, you know, my being. This is who I am.
Okay, there you go. Thanks for that. And think about that, Jonathan. You know, I laugh when I hear it. But part of me has this deep sadness when I hear something like that. Because I know that there's people get like that. We get like that. We get so tied up in who or what we look like that we don't understand. You know, he says, am I supposed to deny myself this face and this incredible body? Yeah. Matter of fact, you oughta. Because when you begin to, you know what happens? You can enter into a different world where there's lots of other, here's a new one for you, lots of other people. Where you can actually be a part of something bigger than yourself.
True beauty comes from within.
And it's not, he says, you know, this is what I am. No, that's not true. That's what you've been given. See, what you are is what you do with what you've been given.
Good point.
You therefore have a choice. Again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
All right, so Christian love says the implementation of this Christian love is a catalyst for our actions and not a result of our actions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what pushes the action forward. It's not what you get from the action.
Gotcha.
Big difference between that and a lot of other things, because a lot of things we do for the self-gratification.
Yeah.
This is the catalyst.
But it's hard.
Yeah. Anything worthwhile is.
It takes work.
It does, and it takes continuous work. And you know what? The work I don't think ever ends. It's one of those things you've got to develop and develop and develop and then just keep working on because it's easy to lose it. Because we're so imperfect. Galatians 6, 9 through 10.
And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith.
So, let us do good to all. Don't be weary in well-doing.
Persevere.
That's right. Stay with it. To live a life like this, you have to always be looking for opportunities. And those opportunities you don't find if you're focusing on yourself.
Today's a great day to start looking for more opportunities.
Well, you're right. And they don't have to be big, you know the little pay it forward thing.
Right.
You know, it's got to be something big. Sure, there's those opportunities, but there's a million little ones.
Yes.
Before you get to the big one.
Mm-hmm.
So don't overlook the little ones, because those are gold in terms of developing the habit of expressing this kind of Christian love.
Though it may be draining and discouraging at times, you know, that doesn't give you a reason to just stop.
Right, and because that's what Jesus did. Talk about draining.
Oh,
talk about discouragement. Talk about something that was hard to do. That's what Jesus lived. And that's what he showed us how to do. Jonathan, I want to go to another soundbite. I want to play part of a song, And this is a song that I think we're probably all familiar with. Rod Stewart sings it, Have I Told You Lately That I Love You?
Yes, I love this.
The thing you got to realize about this song, we're only going to play a part of it, but this song was originally written as a prayer. Okay, now it became a love song, but that was not what it was originally written as. I looked that up on Wikipedia, incidentally. So, you know, and as we play this part of the song, listen to the words and frame them in the context of a prayer to God, because that gives us the sense of that the love that God gave us and what we in turn should be able to give one to another. So a part of that song, Have I Told You Lately?
You fill my heart with gladness, take away all my sadness, ease my troubles, that's what you do. For the morning sun and all its glory greets the day with hope and comfort too. You fill my heart with laughter, take away and make it better, ease my troubles, that's what you do. There's a love that's divine, above you. You fill my heart with gladness, take away all my sadness, ease my troubles, that's what you do.
That's beautiful.
It is.
And when you see that as a prayer, it really has a dramatic impact on looking to God and saying to God, you ease my troubles. That's what you do. You fill my heart with gladness. You take away all of my sadness. And it just, at the end of the day, we should give thanks and pray to Him, because He is the expression of that selfless love that we're continually talking about here. I feel good about that now. And, you know, and Jonathan, we were talking about Christian love in terms of emotion earlier.
Yes.
And there is, this next scripture, 1 Peter 1:22, really exemplifies the emotion that ought to be behind our expression of this highest form of love, this Christian love.
Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart. Fervently.
So unto unfeigned love of the brethren. So you've got this sense of what is unfeigned means, undisguised. It means sincere. Fervently. I mean, with great deal of intensity.
Yeah.
So this is not, when we say it's disinterested in all of that, this is not some kind of love that, you know, is just sort of matter of fact. But it is a pouring out of your soul, so that you can put yourself in a position to really, really get what this kind of love really, really means. So there is a great emotion attached to this, and as there should be.
And it's worth it. It's worth the struggle to try to have this kind of love.
And when you say, I like the way you say that, it's worth the struggle to try to have this kind of love. And the implication is that, well, we may not do so well sometimes.
We may not.
But the struggle is to continually to try to step out of your own little world into a larger world where the giving without an interest in getting back is prominent, because that's what Jesus did. And the bottom line, the end result of that, Jonathan, is Christian love says to love your enemies.
Wow.
So, you know, we talked about passing from death unto life because you love brethren.
Right.
Okay, that's hard enough.
But let's go further.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's hard enough to love the people that you like. Okay, but what about loving the people that you don't like? What about loving the people that are out to get you? What about loving the people that want to bring you down? Well, Jesus tells us very specifically how to treat them in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 46.
You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same?
So there you have a very significant command of Jesus. Again, he's always giving us commands, you know? Because this is something that isn't natural. So by rights, we need to have the command to be able to put it into place.
This is the faithfulness that we need to achieve too.
Right.
This is the goal.
Right. So this is not just a reminder of what you are and who you are. Just like, look, remember in the scriptures, we're reminded to make sure we maintain that family love.
Mm-hmm.
In the scriptures, we're reminded to make sure we maintain that brotherly love.
Right.
But we're commanded to attain Christian love because it's not natural. And this scripture in Matthew 5 really puts it in perspective. Love your enemies. Love those who are out to get you, who persecute you. Because, look, if you just love those who love you, anybody can do that. And, folks, that's what this is about. So when we talk about Christian love, we're talking about looking at love from a whole different standpoint and stepping outside of ourselves so that we can be more Christ-like. To be Christ-like. See, this is what the core definition of Christ-likeness is. It is to be able to love without worrying about getting anything back. Difficult? Yes. Challenging? Yes. Do we fail? Yes. Worth it? Absolutely. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. How is Christian love different? Well, hopefully, after this morning's conversation, you've got something to work with and something to apply right now to the rest of your life, starting today. We'll be back again next week with another subject. But till then, Christian love is different, it's difficult, but boy, is it worth it. Think about it.